Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time for Warriors This Week. Brought to you by Oaks Card Club. Play smart, play at Oaks.
Durant for three, way downtown.
Now, here's Matt Stymatz and Sean Dickinson.
All right, we welcome you in. Good Saturday morning to you. It's John Dickinson and Matt Stymatz, and we got a long day of NBA hoops here for you on 95.7 The Game, but a fun one as we get you till 1 o'clock here for the next 4 hours. We open up the phone lines right from the tip of this show, 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. We got a great show for you. Tim Bontemps and Tim Roy scheduled to appear on the program, as is Danny LaRue of The Athletic, who wrote about DeMarcus Cousins' contract specifics. And we've also got the Warriors and the Oklahoma City Thunder coming up tonight as the Warriors' road trip continues after a couple of days off. So, Steiny, we're going to be together for about the next 12 and a half hours, but we wouldn't have it any other way.
It's another upbeat Warriors This Week, JD. I was thinking about this. You know, last Saturday we came on, it was after the Warriors dismantled Denver, and people were feeling good about the Warriors. Then they lost to Phoenix. Awful. And there was about 3 or 4 days where, uh-oh. But now they've beaten Houston. Everything's right with the world. We come in Saturday, and if you're a Warrior fan, you got to be feeling better than you did Wednesday before tip-off, I think. I think the Warriors played a real, real nice game against the Houston Rockets. You said it during the game. They played a winning game against the Rockets, and the Rockets didn't play a winning game on Wednesday, and that was good to see. It's also, I think it's important that the Warriors win some games without a Durant, without a Clay, because, as we all know, the playoffs, they take 2 months. You know, I'd forgotten, but Steph Curry missed the first round of the playoffs last year. And what I'm getting at is, don't fall into the trap of, and we beat them without Durant. Because the reality is, you're probably going to play a lot, but you're going to play postseason games without players. So you're going to have to need to do that. It's not just going to be kind of a luxury.
Yeah, you mentioned Stephen Curry, and Kevin Durant was in and out of the first round series 2 years ago as the Warriors wound up beating Portland. So they won playoff series without Steve Kerr a couple of years ago,
right,
as he had to take that leave of absence. And for those wondering about Kevin Durant's status for tonight's game against Oklahoma City, Steve Kerr was on with Damon last night, and he called Durant doubtful for the game tonight. So it looks like Kevin Durant will be missing for a second consecutive game with that ankle injury after he missed the final six and a half minutes of the game against Phoenix, which the Warriors ultimately lost. But Kerr's still optimistic, at least he was a couple of days ago, that Durant would return on the road trip. You got to think Durant really wants to play in Oklahoma City.
You think?
Yeah, I do. And I think it's unfortunate that this is another matchup where we're just not going to see the teams play full freight. I mean, I've forgotten
about that. We haven't had a full Saturday game, have we yet?
Well, and Russell Westbrook didn't play the first game of the year back at Oracle. It was the opener when the Warriors got their rings and all of that.
Right.
That was one of the Oklahoma City games, and Westbrook didn't play in that game. And then the Warriors were woefully injured, actually, the night before Thanksgiving when Oklahoma City blew the Warriors Oracle. They were down, I think, Curry and Draymond Green in that game, and Oklahoma City wound up winning that game, and now tonight it's not going to be Durant. So this will be the closest to full strength versus full strength, but that's without Kevin Durant, who's
right. One
of the top five players maybe in the NBA right now. So it definitely changes the dynamic. And yes, another Saturday with somebody out. Klay Thompson missing a couple of weeks ago, Embiid missing a couple of weeks ago, LeBron, James Harden, pick your star. These guys just haven't been playing on Saturday nights.
And I think the one thing that's going to be cool about tonight's game, I've been going back and forth. Well, not really. I've hung in Houston's corner most of the year. I know you've been kind of back and forth a little bit on Oklahoma City, but I do believe either Houston or Oklahoma City represents the Warriors' biggest challenge in the West. So we just saw the Warriors play Houston. I want to see them now play Oklahoma City. The way I look at it is I think Houston's more dangerous to the Warriors than Oklahoma City because I just think they're a little bit smarter and they're a little bit savvier in terms of knowing what they have to do to beat the Warriors. I still don't think Oklahoma City realizes kind of the 48-minute, seven-game commitment you need to beat the Warriors. You can't not play well for 7-8 minutes in a stretch in a playoff game or it's over. That's why I'd come back to Houston always.
And I don't think that Oklahoma City's deep enough either. And I don't think they have consistent enough shooting. So I think the Rockets do pose the biggest threat in the Western Conference. I don't think there's any doubt about it. However, the Warriors showed that there's a level that maybe they can get to even against Houston that they hadn't previously shown. But it came out on Wednesday night when they won that game without Kevin Durant. And I think, you know, DeMarcus Cousins is an interesting player to get into as it pertains to the matchup with the Warriors and the Rockets, because he's played against them twice. One game he was awful, basically made himself unplayable with Chris Paul attacking him and just him looking like a defensive liability. And then he, in many ways, dominates the game on Wednesday night for the Warriors in Houston and does a lot of the things that you'd like to think you could attack the Rockets with inside, given their style of play. So it's two games. I don't know what to make of what. It's probably somewhere in the middle. But Cousins went from unplayable the first game to dominant force in the second game against that same team.
It feels like the Warriors are trying to find that balance between forcing it to them in the low post and not going to them enough. They want to keep him engaged. I thought against Houston, obviously, they went in a perfect amount. Not too much, not too little. And I think we learned a couple things. Here's what I learned. I learned that Clint Capela cannot defend DeMarcus Cousins in the low post. I'd never seen that dynamic between the two of them before. I figured Capela, he'll be fine against Cousins. Well, the reality is Cousins got to the basket better against Houston and Capela than he has since he returned. I think he's looked a little rushed at times. His elevation hasn't been great. His lift hasn't been good. His shots have been a little tougher because maybe he's lost a half step. All those things seem to be eradicated almost on Wednesday. He was making a spin move and getting to the basket. So that was the one thing that I think is extremely encouraging for the Warriors, is it looks like Cousins can make the Rockets pay the price in the low post, because Capela, it looks like, is a good rim protector, good secondary defender, probably pretty good on the pick and roll, but maybe a one-on-one in the low post, he can be overmatched, and that's what we saw.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Go ahead, Steiny.
And I also want to ask you, we were talking about, you know, sometimes it feels like they try to go to Cousins too much, and then it gets the Warriors just a little out of rhythm, and then maybe they don't go to him enough, and then he gets exposed defensively, and you think, well, what's he giving us offensively? I guess what I want to talk about is, can Cousins basically have that exact role that he had against Houston on Wednesday with Kevin Durant playing 35 minutes? Because shots are going to have to come from somewhere. And I just wonder if, in a way, it's easier for the Warriors to play with three of their four big guys rather than all four. Not that they're better, but that it's easier for them because they know they just have a little more rope.
Well, the other thing to come out of the game against Houston was the DeMarcus Cousins roller coaster continues, because it seems fans and even some in the media from game to game, Steiny, it goes from DeMarcus Cousins is useless to The Warriors might be better without DeMarcus Cousins. How can they sign him long-term if Kevin Durant doesn't stay? It's amazing the roller coaster that he's on. I actually think he's been all right. Overall, I wouldn't, you know, it's too early to say, oh, you got to sign him next year. And I think Danny LaRue's going to point out when we have him on coming up at some point on the program here, you know, the contract logistics, which he's basically going to tell you, and he wrote about it in The Athletic. He's going to tell you how much money DeMarcus Cousins would have to leave on the table to stay with the Warriors. And It's a lot of money.
Yeah, absolutely. The thing that is confounding to me.
Sorry, I chuckle because I'm looking at one of the topics on the screen from the caller we're going to take here.
Oh, okay. I don't have that screen up, but
it's akin to one of Guru's ideas.
Oh, I got you.
It's with a different player.
I got you. What's confounding to me, JD, is we all know how serious DeMarcus Cousins' injury was. We all know he didn't play basketball for a year. We all said before he ever came back, it's going to be a slow process. What I'm trying to say is, who the hell thought that he wouldn't have peaks and valleys this last 3 or 4 months of the season as he's trying to help the Warriors to a third title? It's preposterous to think he comes back, is himself, and the Warriors roll and are a better team. He's going to come back. He looked good for 2 or 3 games. Oh, man. You know what? Ooh, he's not moving as well as we'd like. He's going to have ups and downs. It's completely understandable. And I would tell you that from the time he came back to now, yes, he's had ups and downs, but he's at a higher place now than he was when he came back. So he is trending positively. It's just not going to be, you know, skyrocketing from the time he came back. It's going to be 2 steps up, 1 step back, 2 steps up, 1 step back, 3 steps up, 4 steps. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we just have to get used to it.
John Dickinson, Matt Steinmetz, we're tipping off a long day of NBA coverage here on 95.7 The Game. It's Warriors this week from 9 to 1, and then we're back with Warriors Live at 4. We got you covered after the ball game tonight with the Warriors and the Thunder. Your phone calls, John, Mark, you, 888-957-9570. Warriors this week here on 95.7 The Game.
Harden's free throw, no good. Slipped out by Tucker to the backcourt. Iguodala runs it down to Curry. Curry will throw it in the air. The ball game's over. The Warriors hang on. An exciting 106-104 win.
Warriors this week continues on 95.7 The Game.
That was a really smart play by Stephen Curry.
Reminiscent of Magic Johnson in the NBA Finals.
Yes. Well, I remember it in a Western Conference Finals.
It was against
Portland.
Yeah, I do think it was against. Wait, it was against Portland.
I think it was in 91, because that was the year that Portland made it in 90. Portland made it in 92.
Uh huh.
And lost, but the Lakers made it and played the Bulls in 91.
See, I have a recollection of the Pistons beating the Lakers in 5 games. And that was the one game the Lakers won against the Pistons.
No, the Pistons actually swept them in 89.
Then you're right.
Yeah.
Then
so it was right. Against Portland. It was Portland. Yeah, Magic, he threw the ball down the floor.
Right, right.
Like, he literally threw the ball down the floor to run the clock out as they were trying to foul him completely down the other end.
That's not quite as bad as my Kevin McHale gaffe with Kevin McHale on the line.
No. So. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. That's funny you remember that play. That was the exact play I was thinking of. It's like, God, that was smart. Just
I've
let
often
the clock
wondered,
run out.
The other thing you could, if you throw it as high as you can straight up,
yeah,
then when it comes down, there's still going to have to be 2 seconds till something, you know what I mean? If you throw it out of bounds, then the other team's going to get the ball with some time left. You know, it's funny because they played. We're talking about how well the Warriors played, and I thought they did play well. They only won by 2. You know, Houston's one crazy possession from winning that game, and that's the one thing.
I felt like the Warriors dominated.
I did too. I felt like.
Or controlled it at least.
That would have been one where Houston ends up winning that game. I really would have thought, geez, I mean, you're telling me the Rockets don't have to play great to beat the Warriors now? But You know, I think one thing we're seeing, JD, is the runs that teams are making. We talked about this. You know, what were the Warriors up? 10, 12 at one point?
14.
Probably in the fourth.
Well, not in the fourth. They weren't 14 in the fourth. They were 14 earlier in the game.
Yeah. I mean, we.
Might have been 14 in the fourth, actually.
The runs from either team come so fast these days. A 10-point lead. You know, you're up 190 with 4 minutes to go, and you're thinking this game's over. They always seem to come down to the last minute because teams that there's so many teams shooting threes now, the runs are coming quicker and they're coming more frequently. And I think that's why we're seeing some games kind of go back and forth, and teams you think are out of it get back into games.
Let's get to Mark in San Bruno. Mark is our tip-off caller here on Warriors This Week at 95.7 The Game.
Hey, good morning, fellas.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, actually, Kolsky, I was the one who called right before
Not Kolsky.
You were arguing about getting Bogut.
All right, like, put him on hold. Put him on hold. Put him on hold. Put him on hold. Put him on hold.
Thanks, JD. That, you had my back there. I was going to let him go.
Was he calling you Kolsky or me Kolsky?
Well, I figured he'd call me Kolsky because Kolsky's first name's Matt, like mine.
No, he's probably calling me Kolsky. See, I think he's calling me Kolsky. Okay. We digress. He's done. Mark's done.
Done for good?
No, he hung up. It wasn't. It wasn't like. It wasn't. I wasn't penalizing him.
Sure, you were.
Well, I was putting him on. Well, look, you don't come on and address me as Kolsky.
That's the second week in a row now.
Like. Let's figure it out.
That's the second week in a row now, JD, you've laid the hammer down.
Yeah, it's John Dickinson and Matt Steinmetz. Warriors This Week. We're here until 1 o'clock on 95.7 The Game. We will take your phone calls, assuming you address us in the proper manner, which is our actual names. That's all. That's all I ask.
Yeah, that's fine. Some people don't even ask. Some hosts don't even ask that much.
And you don't even. And you know what? If you don't know, then just don't say anybody's name. I'm good with that.
I hope we don't dissuade people from calling.
No, absolutely not. Okay. No. We got them. They're lining up.
Oh, good. That's good.
They're lining up to call in.
Has there been an ABC game this year, JD, on a Saturday when everybody's been available?
You know what? It's funny you say that.
I'd love to go back and look at the schedule.
Well, last week the Celtics played the Lakers, and I think everybody played. Ironically, now that the Lakers are cooked.
Wow, the Lakers.
By the way, the Lakers, 31-38.
Incredible.
31-38. The Lakers right now, Steiny.
Yes.
Are 10.5 games out of the eighth spot.
Not five, not six, not seven.
Did you do that?
No.
Or did they do that? Well done. Well done in the
control
room. They're
10.5 out with however many to play. It's almost eliminated.
Wow.
Officially. Like, yeah, they're going to be eliminated before the end of March.
Looks like Luke Walton's going to get fired, too.
I don't know why they didn't do that months ago, to be honest. Actually, you know what? You know why I don't? Here, I think they actually, and I don't believe Luke Walton deserves to be fired.
I mean, do.
He's going to be fired.
Right.
And, I mean, the circumstances, all right, he's going to have to go just based on that, everything going on there. I don't understand why they didn't fire him at the All-Star break. I think they lost their last game to Atlanta and looked terrible right before the break. They had some winnable games coming out of the break. Why they didn't do it then is just beyond me. And they didn't, and they're paying the price. And maybe they don't have anybody capable of taking over on that staff, which...
Look at the top text.
I don't think they do.
I think the top text is right. I think we were both wrong.
Okay. No.
I think he might be right.
No.
The text from the 408 says it was the Lakers-Bulls in game one, and the Bulls won that series in five.
They did. The Lakers won the first game on a Sam Perkins three-pointer in the final second.
So, God,
It was that year.
I'm just saying.
It was in the conference finals, though.
I remembered it in the NBA finals. But then when you said Portland, I have a vision of like Drexler in the background almost when he was throwing
it
up.
Yeah, it was Portland. It was Portland
so you're dead serious.
In game six.
You're dead. Like you're.
I'm positive.
Okay.
It was like a Friday night, right. Thursday night.
If you don't know what we're talking about out there, at the end of the Rockets-Warriors game on Wednesday, if you noticed, Steph Curry, with a second or two left, threw the ball high in the air to run out the clock, which, you know, John and I both thought is a very good move. And we said, man, the last time that happened, or I remember it happening.
Just a notable time it happened in a playoffs.
Yeah, Magic Johnson did it. And I thought it was an NBA Finals game. JD said he thought it was Portland. Now he's saying it's definitely Portland. He's going to go to the wall with it. And then we had a texter say he thought it was game one against the Bulls in a series Chicago won in five. This is the kind of stuff, JD, that we basically, what, live for?
Yeah.
I mean, this is really, sometimes I think about, wow, this is my job. It's pretty cool. Like to really try to figure out when Magic Johnson did that. Because I know it was back then.
Long time ago.
Yeah.
Thomas
in
San Francisco, save us. Hey, Thomas.
Hey, good morning, fellas. How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, I just wanted to piggyback on a topic you guys were talking about earlier with DeMarcus Cousins coming back off injury, and you said he was going to have his peaks and valleys. You know, that's understandable. Achilles' injury is real serious. I have one. You know, it's amazing that he's moving and been able to spin as big as he is. Remember, everybody spoke about how much he weighed and how, you know, he wasn't going to be as nimble as he was. I mean, he's surprisingly is better than I expected. I don't know about anybody else's expectations, but I never worry about him on offense because, you know, he obviously has a 3-point shot. And he has the ability to go inside, and when he gets inside, he can use his upper body because he's wide and he's strong. So he can – most nights he'll bully other centers, especially guys like Clint Capela. You know, Clint Capela, he's active, but he ain't got no meat on him. DeMarcus Cousins is a big dude, man, and he's going to bully most centers on most nights. But I worry about him sometimes on pick and rolls on defense when he has the guard centers – outside, they put smaller guys, faster guys, and they keep making them have to move. And that's when you see a little discrepancies when between him and
Looney,
Damon Jones, and Looney. So, but I think that can be all worked out because you know we play more of a help defense anyway. So Kerr will figure all that out. So I'm not too much worried about that. I just feel as though he's playing a lot better than I expected coming off of Keighley's tear.
Thomas,
that's all I'm wanting to say.
No. Let me ask you a couple things. First of all, I agree with you. I think it's unrealistic to think he would have looked better than he looks right now. But here's a question I want to ask you. Can they get that kind of game out of Cousins, do you think, with Durant playing? You know what I mean? I mean, it just seems like, you know, he moved one notch up in the pecking order in terms of scoring. I wonder if they can, you know, figure out a way to keep him that impactful when Durant comes back.
Well, I think it's just the tempo of the game, Steiny. I just think it's how it's going. If he got a guy down there that, like Shaq say, he can make barbecue chicken out of, they going to keep going to him.
Right.
But, I mean, if Durant has it going, you know, Durant's the man. You got to keep feeding Durant. I just think it depends on how the game is going. Obviously, if my big man can dominate the other big man, I'm going to keep feeding him. But I know that's like some old school philosophy, but in the playoffs, the game slows down, and sometimes you can work a center like that. You can keep throwing it down because on some nights, the Splash Brothers, and KD won't have it going from the outside. So I feel as though that's an extra, you know, that's an extra weapon to have that we didn't have. Being able to throw it down on a low post to a center that can dominate when the game slows down and our jump shots is not falling, that's huge to me. And I just think we just need to get to the playoffs, and the Warriors is going to show, listen, man, we know we got five All-Stars, and you're going to see a show. We've just been playing with people.
All right,
we've been giving away games. And most of the time, our bench, even games we wanted to win, our bench will give the game away because our bench can't think they play good defense. But, I mean, let's
bench was solid. Bench was solid. Hey, Thomas, we got other guys, but basically 99%. I thought he was on the money. I'll repeat myself. I thought the biggest bright spot of Wednesday was realizing that I don't think Capela can guard Cousins in the low post. And I just kind of assumed he'd be fine against him, but meaning Capella defending Cousins, but that might not be the case.
Well, it makes me think the Warriors knew that even the first matchup.
Maybe.
And that's why they were trying so hard to force the ball
Maybe.
To him. And it didn't really work in that game. Rockets got off to the 15-0 start.
Right.
And 18-3, and the Warriors were never really in that game, 3 weeks ago back at Oracle. So it is a good sign. I still think you have to get the ball to Cousins without really looking like it.
It's got to get there naturally.
And I always say it's easier said than done, because Thomas brings this up and other callers bring this up, fans bring this up a lot. It's like, well, on the nights where they're not Curry and Durant or Curry and Clay aren't going, then you feed it to Cousins. And yes, in theory, that sounds great. But there's also that balance of, well, when do you really know that those guys don't have it on a night? Because even if they don't have it for a half.
Three quarters,
they can go off in a fourth quarter, and that be the reason you win a game. So I think just as the Warriors struggle at times with the balance between when to play open and flow versus when to have Curry take over versus when to have Durant take over, I think when to dump it into Cousins is maybe the third element of that as far as different styles of play go. The Warriors almost have four styles. It's the dump it to Cousins style. It's the Durant get it to him and go style. It's the let Curry take over style. And then it's the open, free-flowing team basketball.
Right. And that's
style.
For example, and listen, they have, what, four all-stars, five all-stars. So who gets the ball down the stretch? It's nice when you have a few players. Let me just run down. All right, two-point game. Where are the Houston Rockets going?
They're going to Harden or Paul.
2 minutes left in the game. Where are the Bucks going?
They're going to Giannis.
2 minutes left in the game. What's Toronto going to do?
Kawhi.
2 minutes left in the game. What do the Celtics do?
Kyrie.
2 minutes left in the game. What do the Sixers do?
They have no idea.
Right. And then
I've watched them a lot lately.
2 minutes left in the game. What do the Nuggets do, probably?
Jokic.
Portland, the guards.
Lillard. Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying the Warriors, it's not a problem that the Warriors, well, is it Durant, is it Curry, is it Cousins? But the point is for those teams, it's automatic. It's automatic what they're going to do. For the Warriors, for Oklahoma City, Westbrook's going to have the ball and George may get it. Again, I'm not saying it's inherently a bad thing. But every game, the Warriors are going to figure out kind of how are we going to skin the cat this last 2 minutes. Well, the Rockets know how. They're going to give the ball to Harden and play like they always do. And the Toronto knows they're going to be able to play through Kawhi.
Yeah.
It's different for the Warriors.
And it's Harden or Paul, but they do the same thing.
Sure, exactly.
They're running the same play.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of who's going to initiate it. Gene in Oakland on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Gene.
Hey, fellas. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So, I ran into my buddy, Donald Foyle, at my club yesterday, and every time I do, I try to get a big man report from him. So I asked him what he thought of Cousins so far, particularly his last game, and surprisingly he said, he was maybe 65% of himself in this last game. Generally he's been more like 50 to 55, that he's got a long way to go, and that we can't expect to get anything close to what he used to be probably until sometime next year. Anyways, thought I'd share that with you guys.
Thank you. Thanks, Gene. Appreciate the call.
That sounds about right.
I'd say a little higher.
A little higher in the percentage. I'm with you.
I think he's about 80, tell you the truth.
Yeah.
I mean, he looked good against Houston. It's not
like he hasn't had games. Like, he's had five or six games where he's looked really good.
Yeah. But, I mean, I think if you just turn that game off on Saturday night or Wednesday night and said, find the guy coming off an Achilles, you wouldn't have said, oh, that guy.
No.
So
no.
That's a really good sign.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Warriors this week here on 95.7 The Game. We have shuffled our guest lineup around, so it's now official and locked in. Danny LaRue is going to join us at 10:30. The Athletic, and he wrote about the DeMarcus Cousins contract specifics, what would have to happen for the Warriors to keep him and how much money DeMarcus would have to leave on the table should he want to remain with the Warriors for another year and then another year and then maybe a few more years beyond that, which is kind of how this process would have to play out. Tim Bontemps, 11:30. Tim Roy, the voice of the Warriors, will join us from Oklahoma City coming up at 12:30.
Cousins is making 5 point something this year.
The Warriors 5-3, I believe.
The Warriors can pay him approximately 6.5 next year, maybe a little higher than that. That's all the higher they can go. The player I saw Wednesday is more than a $6 million player. But
is he enough more?
I think so, yes. I do think so.
To where the difference is significant.
I think so, yes. I mean,
he's going to go there versus...
First of all, you got to remember, there's some teams with some money. And there's some teams with some money that are going to... You know, what if Durant doesn't go to New York? Well, you know what? They could throw a boatload of money at Cousins and assume he's going to be better next year. I think that's actually what's going to happen. I think Cousins is going to get a 2 or 3 year deal at 20 plus a year. I really do. As long as he continues to trend up by the end of the year. And so, you know, somebody's going to offer you 20. I don't know that a culture can be good enough to be worth $14 million a year to give up.
Yeah, and nobody really knows what the end game is for DeMarcus Cousins specifically. I mean, I would think the end game would be go somewhere next year where you can get the largest payday possible for, honestly, I'd be looking for a one-year deal. I'd be looking for a one-year $20 million deal and then try to get paid the next year. Now, I know teams are going to spend this year, and then there'll be fewer teams maybe the next year. But I would want to show that I can be as close to what I was as possible while also recouping some of what I gave up this year to play for the Warriors.
Yeah, I'm starting to think that he's going to get 4 years. At, you know, I don't know.
Like $490 million?
I was thinking $400 million. I really do. I mean...
Huh.
Assuming he continues to get better.
I just don't see that yet.
That's fair. I'm just saying he's gotten from where he's started to here. If he continues to go from here till the end of the season like he started, I
also think he's a guy that's still fair or unfair, and I think to a certain extent it's actually been unfair, and I've said this. I still think he's got a bad reputation in the league.
I mean, here's the thing. If the Lakers are sitting with money,
why didn't the Lakers sign him this year?
Well,
they should have.
No, well, of course they should have, but...
Well, but we said that in July. It's not like... And we said that in... I mean, it's not. That's not revisionist history for me.
I mean, listen, I understand why nobody would have signed DeMarcus Cousins last year. And he has every right to be upset about it. But the reality is, if the Warriors weren't in the most unique position of any NBA team, then what would have happened? What would have happened to Cousins if he calls Bob Myers and Bob says, you know, Boogie, I love you, but we have depth problems. I got to use that. I got to use $5.5 million to get two players. Then I wonder what would have happened to Cousins. He wouldn't have gone unsigned.
And I actually think he would have ended up getting more money.
Do you?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I know that's an odd one to throw out there, but I think eventually he would have got more money. I think what happened was the gap wasn't significant enough between the money
right.
that was out there. It was, oh.
I bet
oh,
he was getting a
oh,
10, 10 million
oh,
for 10, one.
Yeah, oh, 10 yeah. million to go play for Atlanta
right.
for 1 year.
Stop it, though.
Versus.
Pick another team from
versus
now on.
5-3 to
Charlotte.
Play for the Warriors.
Charlotte. Say
okay,
Charlotte
yeah, they
now.
Signed Dwight Howard. Okay. Yeah, 10 million.
No,
to,
you're right, though.
10 or 12 million to go play for, you know, whoever, the Bulls, for a year.
Right.
And showcase yourself. Or $5 million to play for the Warriors and win a ring and rehab in, you know, what at least coming into the year is the greatest culture in sports.
Right. Well, and the other thing is the plan was, and everybody had agreed to it, not just Cousins, but Kerr and the Warriors, come in for 1 year, get yourself right, win a title, and we'll get you paid. It was kind of a deal that they made. It wasn't like come, chip in on our third title. We'll pay you 6.5, we'll get you a ring, and then next year we'll underpay you again. I mean, you know, that's that wasn't the deal.
No, he'd either have to really, really, really love it here or not have the season that gets him paid.
Or, God forbid,
have another injury.
Yes.
Or have a setback.
Yes. But listen, here's what I'm thinking. Do you really think, JD, do you really think DeMarcus Cousins next year, do the Warriors win it this year or not?
Yes.
Okay, they win their third title. Does Durant stay or go?
Goes.
Okay, he goes, and now you go to DeMarcus Cousins. Any chance we can get you to play for 6.5? You can't get him to play for 6.5 when you got Curry making 40.
But I see Bob, Bob Myers being uncomfortable even asking him.
Thank you.
Like,
and
man,
Draymond's making 20.
Man, it's disrespectful, but I got to ask. Like, would you do it? Like, I really don't even want to ask because you're worth so much more.
No doubt.
Like, that's like the Bob Myers part of that conversation,
you know what?
How it likely goes.
When I was a kid, I used to have to, you know, for Little League, sell ham sandwiches and like, religious candles to raise money. I hated it.
Oh,
no, nothing I hated it more.
Yeah.
So I remember my sales pitch always was like, "Hi, Mrs. Sterner, you don't want to buy a candle, do you?" No, that's what Bob Myers is going to say. Hey, DeMarcus.
You don't want to stay here for 6.3.
You don't want to stay here for $6 million, do you? Maybe. Really? Let me give you two candles.
All right. Well, let's do it then. I mean, I know you got to go see what's out there, and there'll be a lot of teams with money.
I know it.
A lot of teams with money.
I know it.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. It's John Dickinson, Matt Steinmetz here, Warriors this week on 95.7 The Game as we get you closer to the Warriors and the Oklahoma City Thunder. Kevin Durant doubtful for that ball game tonight as the Warriors will take on the Thunder. What, for the third time? This is the first time and the only time the Warriors go to Oklahoma City.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
You know off the top of your head the teams they only play three times in the
West? San Antonio's one of them.
Good.
San Antonio.
Well, they'll get them four times in the playoffs.
Yeah, San Antonio's one of them. They play. San Antonio only came to Oracle once. And I'm trying to remember the others. They were on the top. I can't remember. Oh, the Pelicans are one. They only go to New Orleans once.
Okay.
That's the other one where they only go once. And the other team that comes to Oracle once is actually Utah. So I did. I got them all four. There it is.
Here's a question I'm going to ask you, and then we'll ask Danny LaRue. Livingston and Iguodala might come off the books next year if they decide to retire. Hold that thought, and we'll get to that.
Yeah. We will, and the calls are lining up here at 888-957-9570. Warriors this week, JD and Steiny, we're rolling on here, 95.7 The Game.
Lob up top for Draymond, chased by Tucker, ball to Cousins. Four to shoot, got to go with three, with two. Rocks into a jumper, it's knocked it down. Season high 27, Warriors 102, Rockets 89.
I'm just playing the flow of the game. Made right decisions. I think we played, you know, a good team basketball game. And when we play that well, I think everybody can get going. Everybody can, you know, catch the flow of the game. And, you know, we have games like we had tonight.
Now back to Warriors this week on 95.7 The Game.
Playing in the flow of the game. Good team basketball. DeMarcus Cousins after the Warriors 106-104 win over the Rockets on Wednesday night. Warriors and Thunder tonight right here on 95.7 The Game. We got Warriors live at 4 and tip off for that one just after 5:30.
Rockets were down 14 in the fourth in that game. 92-78 or 94-80 with under 10.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah. I didn't realize it had gotten that late. 96-82 with 8.5. Man, so it was 14. And now we start cutting it. Okay. 98-85 with 6:24. So the Warriors had a 13-point lead with 6:24. They had a 13-point lead with 5:37. They had a 13-point lead with 4:52. And then it starts getting close. They had a 10-point lead with 3 minutes to go.
Well, they had, an 11-point lead at Orlando with 3 minutes to go.
Yeah, that's right.
Ten, maybe.
Anyway, every team makes a run, so I'm not making a big deal out of that. I'm just saying that.
I think they had a 6-point lead with, 40 seconds to go in Miami.
Yeah. By the way, somebody asked, next year, Iguodala could retire at the end of this year and Livingston, so they'd get some salary cap relief. John, why would Andre Iguodala retire?
Andre Iguodala is not leaving $16 million on the table. Andre Iguodala could retire while being on the team and collect that $16 million.
He's basically a part-time employee now. You know what I mean? Hey, you know, just come in for a half day today, Andre. So, yeah, Andre Iguodala is not walking away from $16 million. Livingston's situation is, if he's on the roster, I think he's going to make seven.
8.3.
8.3, but
I'm
the
sorry.
Warriors...
No, you were 7.6. I read the wrong column.
And then if they waive him or he's not on the team, they still got to pay him $3 million to kind of go away, essentially.
Yeah.
So don't expect any salary cap relief with Andre Iguodala. I guess the question I would ask you, JD, is could Iguodala be part of a move? Would any other team be interested in Iguodala? If the Warriors go the route of, hey, we got to try to get under the cap because we know we're going to lose Durant. We want to maybe keep Cousins, so we got to get under. And I mean, this is probably more for Danny LaRue, but do expiring contracts mean anything anymore?
They don't mean as much as they used to.
Right. And I'm just...
Iguodala, by the way, 17.1 next year.
Man.
17.1. He was
14-8,
16 even this year, 17-1 next year.
So this is the, in essence, next year is the, it's the bite your lip year for the Warriors. Because that, remember when Myers was talking about negotiations with Iguodala? Iguodala was pretty tough.
Well, Iguodala has been a productive player this year.
Oh, absolutely.
Maybe more in the regular season than he even was last year.
Yeah, it might be. Yeah, because he didn't. I don't remember him doing much the first half of the season last year. What I'm getting at is, this is the kind of thing you have to do when you're a great team trying to keep stuff together. You have to give, and this happened 2-3 years ago. But you know, you give Iguodala that extra year because he was instrumental in winning your titles.
Yeah, we'll deal with that. We'll deal with that in 2020.
Exactly.
Not going to be comfortable, but let's go win a couple of titles and then. You know, it's like using the credit card. Use a credit card, you got to pay the interest on it.
Right.
And you got to pay the money back.
Exactly.
So, you know, next year, it's not like Iguodala's going to be unproductive next year, necessarily. I mean, we don't know that.
Right.
But
no,
there's no way that he's given up $17.1 million by retiring to help out the Warriors. Like, Iguodala could be unable to contribute. As long as he shows up, he's getting that $17.1 million, even if he doesn't play a second. I mean, yes. Zach Randolph just made $24 million the last 2 years with Sacramento and now Dallas for not playing, basically, the last year and a half.
Exactly.
It's good work if you can get it. Dre, Central Cali, 95.7 The Game. Hey, Dre.
Hey. I'd like to start off by saying thank you for giving me an answer a couple weeks ago when I asked you how come I can't get the Warrior games here on the app, and you said it's probably because it could be Lakers rights.
Ah, yes.
This is Laker country. All my life it's been Laker country, and it does my heart good to see all these youngsters wearing Warrior gears nowadays.
Where exactly are you, Dre, in Central Cali?
I'm from the same man your boy Lowe's from.
Lemoore. Okay. Hey, by the way, I just for kicks, a month ago I played the Lemoore Golf Club. Played 9 holes there.
Oh, I wish I'd have known that, Stein. I'd like to see a picture of your stroke right there, young man.
Yeah, it's not that great, but I would have looked you up, but Central Cali's a big piece of geography, so I didn't know if you were in Hanford or Fresno or Lemoore.
I'm from Hanford, which is basically the same thing as Lemoore. Hey,
gotcha.
Guys, I got a question about Boogie.
Sure.
But I'm glad you're in the neighborhood. I myself think Joe Lacob is a lot like a young Eddie DiBartolo. He's going to spend to win. Now, Eddie would do a little shady things. Now, is it beyond comprehension that he signs Boogie for $6 million and a couple big suitcases full of large bills for Boogie to walk out the door with until next year to get everything legit?
Well, I mean, hey, thanks for the call. And as always, Dre, appreciate you listening all the way down in Central Cali. You know, Kevin McHale tried to do that, didn't he, with Joe Smith? Nod, nod, wink, wink. Just take a little less this year. We'll get you. We'll get you. We'll circumvent. That's what it's called, circumventing the salary cap. And you don't want to do that and get caught. Because they had first-round picks stripped from them. Yeah, it sounds good. Apparently Kevin Durant officially out tonight, according to Monty Poole, NBC Sports Bay Area. Well, and Connor Letourneau and all the boys.
So Steve Kerr announced it at Warriors Shootaround that he's not going to play.
Right.
So everybody has it, including us. We'll just...
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, yeah, we don't even have
to. Warriors announce Kevin Durant is out tonight.
Thank you.
At Oklahoma City.
He's likely to return Monday.
Oh, cool.
There's just a couple more days of rest for his ankle. Why not?
You're not going to like... Well, you might not care, but some people may not like what I'm going to say. I actually don't think there's any benefit for Durant playing tonight, as much as I think he would want to play. I think Durant would want to play tonight in Oklahoma City,
mm-hmm.
but I also think that place is such a cauldron that there's no upside in having him play if you're the Warriors tonight. Just the emotional toll that playing the game takes.
Well, and I always wonder about this, JD. You said Durant probably wants to play. Well, he goes up to Kerr and says, "I'm good. Feels pretty good. I want to go tonight." Does somebody say no? You can't. Or do they talk him out of it with reason? I always do kind of wonder how that works practically, because you always hear Steve Kerr and coaches, you ought to sometimes protect the player from themselves. Yeah. That's their big line.
Well, I think it was probably as simple as, light ankle sprain. You know what? We're going to give that a week.
Okay.
We'll give it a week minimum.
Because how do you...
They don't tell the media that necessarily,
but I would guess
that's probably the thought was, well, you know what? Let's give this about a week. Really, you could probably play Wednesday, but we're going to give it a week, and a week puts us at next Sunday.
Right.
So then maybe you play Monday. And the Warriors always go one more game than you think.
That is true.
And tonight would be the one more game than you think. Now, look, as a fan, do you want to see Durant score 50 on Oklahoma City and be snarling at Westbrook and have them go face-to-face? Yeah, sure you do, if you're a fan. But reality is, nobody's catering to the fans. Like, these decisions aren't made with any thought to the fans. I mean, look at the last five Saturday primetime games.
No,
throw
you're
that
right.
Laker Celtics game out, which I didn't even watch, so I don't even know who played or didn't play in that game last week at Staples Center. But
it doesn't matter.
All I know is Embiid and Klay Thompson didn't play the week before, and Harden didn't play the week before that, and somebody didn't play the week before that, and
basically JD
LeBron missed one.
You know, now that we're down to the last, 15-20% of the season, I start whittling teams down that I like. The Lakers now don't get watched.
Oh yeah,
period.
I haven't watched the Lakers in about 2 weeks.
Yeah, exactly.
When they lost to Phoenix,
exactly
in Phoenix. Oh,
Dallas.
No,
they're gone now.
They're done. I don't watch.
They're
Dallas
all gone. Yeah. Let me tell you, another team, Memphis. They're done.
Oh, Memphis has been done for about 2 months.
Watched Memphis play the Hawks the other night. New York, Cleveland, Chicago. Washington is done. Washington is so done.
Yeah, I watched Washington play Sacramento earlier this week, but that was their last game of the year for me.
And as much as I'd like to rule out Brooklyn, Miami, Orlando, Charlotte, they're still in contention for the playoffs.
And Charlotte's going to be at Oracle in a couple of weeks.
Right.
So you're going to have to watch them then.
I just feel like due diligence, I have to go down to Charlotte in the standings because they could make the playoffs. So, like Sacramento, for example, I'm still watching Sacramento.
Yeah.
Minnesota, they're not really in it. Still watch them just a hair.
I'm not going to watch Minnesota.
Aren't you?
Except for the two games they have left against the Warriors.
You know what I was thinking about Minnesota? How are they going to get better?
Well, they could do what I wanted them to do 2 years ago, trade Wiggins.
Oh, sure, sure.
Or maybe not, or maybe now they got to trade Towns. I don't know.
Something's up there. Just put it that way.
Maybe Dave Yeager can fix it. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.